Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. Whitewatersc.ie.
Well, Minister of State for Special Education Josepha Madigan seems to have walked into a hornet's nest with her announcement or indications that she was proposing and planning to create special education centres, as she called them, in response to a shortage of appropriate school places for vulnerable children. She said that there will be four special classes, or a total of 24 pupils in each of the new centres, which are due to open in September 2022. Education authorities confirmed last week that there are 80 children waiting for special classes in Dublin alone, while it's estimated there are many more outside the capital in need of what are called appropriate school places. But severe controversy has broken out in regards to these special education centres and whether they would serve the needs of these children or whether they are appropriate education places to send these children at all. Minister of State Josepha Madigan has now said that the creation of these centres to cater for children with autism and other intellectual disabilities who cannot secure a school place remains what she calls now an option, and she added she'd be open to changing the name. The mind boggles. CEO of As I Am, the autism advocacy organisation, Adam Harris joins us now. Good morning again, Adam.
Good morning, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
So if we change the name, that'll make it all hunky-dory, will it?
No, I think that indicates a lack of understanding, I suppose, of really the core issues at play in this crisis. You know, I think it's very welcome that the minister met with us yesterday. Nobody saw this announcement coming, and it's caused a lot of distress and upset within the community. So we welcome the chance to meet with the minister and to outline our concerns yesterday, and we will be meeting with her again on the 31st of May. But what As I Am and other advocacy groups made explicitly clear to the minister yesterday was that this plan is totally unacceptable. It will breach children's rights. And for listeners who don't know what we're really talking about, is if you can understand, huge progress has been made over the last 20 years in terms of the majority of autistic children being able to attend mainstream school. Now, some of those children sit in the same classrooms as everybody else. Some children need an extra classroom where a little bit more support is provided, but they still have the chance to go to school with their peers. Unfortunately, the NCSE and the department over the last number of years have consistently failed to plan to provide enough spaces. And year on year, this just seems to be a problem. And now here we are, a few weeks out from the new academic year. There's hundreds of children across the country without suitable places. But instead of taking action to try and work with schools and get these places open, what the department was proposing was essentially a sticking plaster, whereby children would be bussed out of their community into segregated settings where they'd only be mixing with other children with additional needs and would have no opportunities to integrate. Obviously, we were hugely concerned. This doesn't meet the child's right to an appropriate school place. They wouldn't even be going to a school. They'd literally be going to a centre. So while the word centre is unfortunate, what we object to is the segregation and exclusion of children with disabilities. Yesterday, the department called this an emergency. An emergency is something like COVID-19 or Ukraine. It's not an emergency to find school places. These children always needed to be accommodated. We're in a crisis because not enough planning was done.
The minister seems to be blaming the messengers at this stage, because she says it's unfortunate that it got out into the public domain. She says it's regrettable it came into the public domain before there was an opportunity to discuss it with stakeholders. But I don't know who released the information in the first place, whether it was the minister or her department or whatever. She also coined a new word for me in the English language anyway. Where speaking on RTE 61 News yesterday, she said there's a lot of misperception about what it is meant to be. Well, whatever about the new word in the English language, which I've never heard before. I used the word during a discussion on this issue yesterday, Adam, that this would ghettoise children by putting them into so-called special education centres. I think that name is even the most unfortunate one that could ever have been brought into play in the first place. And in using the word ghettoising, am I being overdramatic there?
No, you're not, because we're talking about segregation. And, you know, we already have a situation in counties like Kildare and counties like Dublin where we see children bussed out of their communities. The schools in their communities not providing for them every morning, and people having to travel sometimes 100 kilometres to go to school. So this is the reality within the education system. And, you know, I think we can get into, I think yesterday too much time was spent on who said what. The reality is we know that this was something the department was considering now. It is wholly inappropriate. And what I really think is at the heart of this problem is how the department thinks it's appropriate to approach disability. in general. I heard last night that it was described that the ETVs were being kind and generous in offering to try and provide these centres. It's not kind to give an autistic person a school place. It's our right, the same as it is any other child. And for much too long in the education system, we've tolerated a system where some schools have opted out of inclusion, where the department hasn't provided enough resources for children's education, and where we've allowed a situation where all the adults in the room blame each other instead of providing what children need, and it's just not good enough.
Tell me about that point that you just mentioned there, how, because the Minister has insisted she will compel any school that does not have a legitimate reason to not open a special class to do so. And she says she's liaising closely with the National Council for Special Education and the Department of Education on this issue. How or why would any school they decide that it's not opening a special class to deal with these students, when surely the remit of all schools is to cater for all their student cohort?
You would like to think so, but unfortunately many schools in many communities have failed to do that over the years, or have put up lots of barriers and a long list of excuses as to why it's not possible. In 2018, and it has to be said under duress, it came from the opposition benches at the time, an amendment was brought into the School Admissions Act called Section 37A, and that gives the Minister the power for the first time to actually make a school open a class. Unfortunately, the vested interest in the education system really watered down that power. So instead of the Minister being able to move very quickly, the process can take months upon months upon months, and schools are given lots of get-out-of-jail cards, if you like. So what the Minister recognises herself, and we welcome this, is that that power needs to be tightened so that she can move much more quickly. What I would say, though, is we've seen how quickly the Oireachtas can act when it was to do with COVID powers, when it's to do with economic stability. This is an emergency. Children's rights are at stake. So what we're calling on the Minister to do is to introduce emergency legislation in the Dáil as early as next week to streamline the process and to sharpen her tool, if you like, to provide the places that children need this September.
The Minister says this is only an interim solution, yet the Irish, under Article 24 of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, the state holds an obligation to ensure that, and I quote, persons with disabilities are not excluded from the general education system on the basis of disability, and that children with disabilities are not excluded from free and compulsory primary education or from secondary education on the basis of disability. Is it your view, Adam Harris, that even announcing an interim measure like this contravenes Article 24 of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities regarding education?
It is my view, and I think it's important to say that the independent monitor of the state obligations under that convention is the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, and they've been out very, very clearly communicating that this morning. But what I would also say, I think, is that part of the problem, I think, here is that we do have a scenario whereby interim measures in Ireland become permanent measures. So think of all of the different areas of policy where we've been told something's only coming in for an emergency reason and it stays forever. The Department of Education has a very poor track record in this regard. The actual legislation that gives children with additional needs rights within the education system is called the EPSIN Act. It was passed 18 years ago. It's never been fully commenced. The department has another system called home tuition, which is a support it gives to children at home if they don't have a school place. That's meant to be a temporary measure, but we know children who are on it years upon years upon years. So the reality is our families, I think quite rightly, have absolutely no trust that this would be a temporary measure, because the department has consistently failed to show form in that regard.
Now, the in terms of this interim measure, which has been echoed by the Taoiseach as well, that the proposal is not a move back towards what's called special schools. Speaking on RT Radio yesterday, asked what would happen to these children if there's no school place in September, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, said there are a number of options which would be subject to parental choice. For example, the option of home tuition, etc., he said, that's used in some circumstances. Now, while we'll accept that might be exceptional, the question being, the Minister says, you know, special needs assistance will be provided, qualified teachers will be provided. Does it not beg the question, Adam Harris, that if there will be qualified teachers and special needs assistance at the new centres, why these cannot be provided in the mainstream schools themselves also?
I think that is exactly it, and I think one thing that the department has really demonstrated with this proposal is a lack of understanding of autism. So if you think about it, in any child's life, it's a big moment where you start school or you move from one school to another. But for autistic people, that in and of itself can be very a traumatic experience. Change is really difficult and really overwhelming. The idea that you could just move a child into a centre that's not really well established, that isn't experienced, that hasn't built up a good knowledge and expertise in this area. So you'd send a child there without any roadmap for when they'd actually return to a mainstream school, but then they would have to have the trauma of a big transition twice. That would take an enormous toll on a child and would absolutely undermine the rights of a child to an appropriate school place.
Finally, Inclusion Ireland, Dervin McDonagh, CEO, was with us on the programme last week. This also an organisation that advocates on behalf of children and adults with intellectual disabilities, has described the plan as being, and I quote, like 10 step backwards on the path to inclusive education. They say they were not contacted or consulted either in any way. And Dervin McDonagh says, of these short-term segregated solutions, they quickly become the accepted norm that lasts years longer than they were intended to, and that is not what children deserve for their education. Finally, Adam Harris, what do you expect from any further meetings with the Minister?
Well, what I asked the Minister and the Department to do yesterday was invest no further energy in this idea, which I just believe undermines the rights of a child to the education that they need. I want them to put energy into actually providing the places that are required in September and to come to us with solutions that are actually compliant with children's rights and compliant with the Constitution. So I think we need to look at localised measures for the children that are affected this year, but I think we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves as to why we're having this problem every single year. We need to change the legislation, but we need better data, better communication and a rights-based approach moving forward.
As I am, advocates on behalf of children on the autism spectrum, it's CEO Adam Harris. Thank you very much for
your
time.
Could I say one more thing, Clem?
Yes.
If your child is affected by this issue, if you don't have an appropriate school place that is in line with your child's needs in September, asiam.ie, we have a survey open today. We'll be publishing it on Monday. We'd love to hear your voice.
asiam.ie, get on that website and get your thoughts on it, because it affects many, many, many more people than just those who are being temporarily provided for, as the Minister might put it, in Dublin. This is an issue right across the country where children, not just those with special needs, not just those on the autism spectrum, but many others can't find places in our schools in September, and that ultimately is what needs to be addressed. Anything else is just sticking plasters over the issue. CEO of As I Am, Adam Harris, thank you so much, Adam.
Thank you so much, Clem.
And good luck with that. Good morning to you.
Kildare Today. With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
FM. All right, a couple more messages coming into us then. Mary, unhappy with what the Minister has suggested to do with children with autism. She says, I hope people won't allow it to happen. Obviously, we just discussed that with Adam Harris, the CEO of As I Am, and the Skinner Kelly in Naas has been in touch as well to say, come on, the Lily Whites were due a win. The Dubs won't know what hit them Saturday night, of course. Throw in at 5 o'clock in Croke Park at KFM. We'll have full commentary of that game with Ger McNally and Peter McConnon in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown. Let's go to local issues in the north of the county then, and Labour Councillor Angela Feeney on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District is on the line. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm not too bad. A couple of weeks back, we spoke to Angie Tracy, a listener in the Maynooth area. She was talking about the Dublin bus, C4 bus, not showing up in Maynooth and other areas around there, and it was causing significant trouble for people who were maybe commuting in and out of Dublin. You've been in touch with Dublin Bus yourself, Angela.
That's right, Owen. I pursued this issue for many of the commuters in Maynooth, like Angie. You know, the C4 bus was just not showing up on numerous occasions, and the difficulties Angie's son and many others like him were having trying to get to work or college on the route. So it was causing huge stress because the cancellations, Owen, as Angie mentioned, weren't even being notified. So people were literally being left standing at the bus stop, not knowing if or when a bus would arrive. And many parents got in touch with me to say that they had to pay taxis or people had to take a day's annual leave. So as you said there, I contacted Dublin Bus, and in recent days I've got a reply from the head of commercial and business development. First of all, which I acknowledge, they apologised for the inconvenience experienced by Maynooth commuters. and they said it was in the early stages of the C-spine introduction, particularly that period owing between December and February. There were a lot of issues. So they said that they've worked hard to maintain services throughout the COVID pandemic, and like many other businesses, Dublin Bus was managing a degree of staff absences due to the COVID or Omicron virus along the close contact scenario. So they lost between 5 and 6 drivers in one instance. So they said that as we can appreciate, and they operate in an environment where the impact of losing staff at the last minute may have a severe impact on reliability and operational targets, especially at peak time. So I'm pleased to say that they've said that as they've exited the pandemic, the punctuality and reliability throughout the network has improved. So I got in touch with Angie and other parents to see, is that the case? And Angie has confirmed to me that the situation has improved with regard to the C4 not showing up and timekeeping. And she said that there's only been one no-show in recent weeks. So I'm looking forward, as Dublin Bus has promised, to regular service being restored, as mentioned, and I'll be keeping a keen eye on that and keeping you informed, Owen.
Yeah, certainly some good news there, Angela, because as we mentioned on the programme as well a couple of weeks back, that it's so important that people can get in and out of Dublin, obviously from Maynooth, but also in the opposite direction, people coming from Dublin to get to Maynooth for university or work, or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
Before we let you go, Angela, great news on the C4 bus. Another bus that's in your local area and in the MD is the 120 bus that I'm sure you've heard a lot about. I know it was brought up at your recent meeting. The likes of Clane, Alan Wood, Darren Turn having some serious issues there. Not necessarily connected to Dublin Bus. I think it's more Go Ahead and TFI.
Yes. And at our last municipal district, my councillor colleague Aidan Farley brought that up as well. And I was adding into the mix about the C4. So on foot of that, Owen, we invited in Go Ahead and indeed the NTA to come in to address us as an MD so that these issues could be addressed. Because, as you say, it affects your everyday life. If you can't get to work, you can't get home from work, or you can't get into college. Mm. So I'm looking forward to meeting them at our next municipal district meeting.
Okay, good stuff. Labour councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, that is Angela Feeney. Thanks, Angela.
Thank you, Angela. Good morning to you, and thank you, Owen, as well. Yesterday in the programme, or in the last couple of days, we've been talking about facial recognition technology, and there's been the proposal by Minister McEntee that she's going to use it for the Gardaí. And we said, you know, do we really understand how that thing works? Well, Owen has been busy working on the internet, and he's downloaded the following explanation.
Facial recognition is a blossoming field of technology that's equal parts cool and creepy. Here's an overview of how it works, where it's being used, and what the implications are for privacy and security. A computer takes an image and calculates the distance between major structural pieces like your nose and your eyes. It could also take into account the width and curves of your face or the depth of your eye sockets. These measurements are converted to a numerical code called your face print. Once a computer knows your face print, it looks in its database of images that have already gone through the process to see if it can find any matching codes. Voila! Facial recognition. Facial recognition was developed using 2D images. Since they can't take depth into account, 2D systems really rely on the distances between your facial features or landmarks. But angles and lighting can cause bad readings. The distance between your eyes and your nose looks very different in a straight-on image versus a profile pic. Some systems address this issue by mapping a 2D image onto a 3D head and undoing the rotation. 3D cameras sense depth by projecting invisible light onto a face and using sensors to capture the distance of various points of that light from the camera itself. Apple's Face ID on current iPhones use 30,000 infrared dots to line the contours of your face. Thanks to the extra depth measurements, 3D images aren't as easily fooled by angles, but can still be defeated by different expressions or wearing glasses or growing facial hair. A new tech called skin texture analysis could help with that. It still measures the distance between landmarks, but the scale is much, much smaller. It actually measures the distance between pores. Skin texture analysis is pretty new, but it could eventually be so precise as to reliably tell the difference between twins. Thanks to this infrared cam, you can actually see the iPhone working to read my face. That's how a lot of us are using this technology right now. It's not just Apple, though. Google has this on the Pixel 2. Samsung has it on the Galaxy S9. Facebook uses it to tag you in your friends' photos. Google Photos uses it to categorize your gallery. It's what's behind these face filters on Instagram and Snapchat. Like the Nest Hello are using it to tell the difference between a stranger and a member of your family. Your face could one day serve as your boarding pass. Passengers flying out of Orlando have already gotten a taste of what that's like. That all sounds great, right? But I'm sure you've recognized the problem. A camera in a public place could recognize you without you even knowing about it. One of your biometric identifiers is just kind of out there. And if an unsecure system grabs an image of you, a hacker could find a way to access that data. Or maybe the whole reason the camera was there in the first place was to track your location whether you wanted it to or not. Shopping malls could make personalized recommendations as soon as you walk in if they know your face and have seen you around before. Facial recognition is being used by police in places like London and China. It can match faces to a database of mugshots. Taylor Swift used it to watch out for stalkers at one of her concerts. The American Civil Liberties Union has protested the use of facial recognition by government bodies because of its implications for a surveillance state.
And surveillance state is what we were speaking with the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, Liam Herrick, yesterday, who are vehemently objecting to any proposal for the Gardaí to be supplied with facial recognition technology, because it could result and will result in the Big Brother society. You know, they're watching us every day of the week. Kira.
I'm joined on the line now, Clem, by Joe Carroll. He is the regional delivery lead with Irish Water. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Kira, to you and all your listeners.
Thank you very much. There has been an announcement made by yourselves at Irish Water, an upgrade for broad leads in Ballymore Eustace. Tell us a bit more about 1.5 kilometres.
Yeah, Irish Water, working in partnership with Kildare County Council, will be replacing, as you say, 1.5 kilometres of old problematic water mains with new high-density polyethylene pipe along the local roads between Ballymore Eustace and Broadley.
Now, what does problematic water lines, what's the definition for Irish Water?
Well, it's high burst frequency and leakage as well. They will be two of the key issues of high problematic.
Okay, so obviously the new and modern pipework, as it's worded here, will improve this. Does that mean there'll be no longer any burst water pipes in the area, or does it just reduce the probability significantly?
Well, the new polyethylene pipe will reduce the possibility of bursts. We have, along with the scheme, like we'll be installing pressure reduction valves, and they also help with the issues of pressures in the area.
Okay, and how much, in terms of time frame, will this take?
Yeah, the works are due to commence on Monday the 30th, and we aim to have the works completed by the end of July. It's a program.
Okay, so about 2 months, and tell us the closures in the area that we will see.
Yeah, there's a road closure will be required during the works, and the road closure is from Golden Falls Hydroelectric Plant going south to the junction of local road, the L2026. The diversion itself will go along the R411. So it's actually quite a short road closure. And again, the regional contractor, Warden Burke, will work closely with the residents in the area to ensure local access is provided.
Okay, well, thank you very much to Joe Carroll, Regional Delivery Lead with Irish Water. Just to let our listeners know that fixing leaks can be complicated. This is Irish Water saying this, but they're making progress. In 2018, the rate of leakage nationally was 46%. And at the end of last year, 2021, it had reduced to 38%. And they have noted that they're still on track to achieve a national leakage rate of 25% by the end of 2030. So good news for those living in the area. New pipes along the local road between Ballymore Eustace and Broadleys, about 1.5 kilometres.
Thanks, Kira. And it's not the only water item we've on the programme this morning, because in the next hour we'll be here from Fintan Brett of the Naas Municipal District Fine Gael Councillor. Concern being expressed by a group of residents in Kilteel as to whether their water is contaminated with arsenic. This has been running for quite a while. Also, just a couple of messages coming in, by the way. The Irish Steam Owner, Engine Owners Association is going on a 7 days road trip from Naas to Cork in aid of the Irish Wheelchair Association. It's all happening tomorrow. The steam engines will be parked at Tokers on the Newbridge Road in Naas tomorrow morning, and viewing is open to the public. Everyone is welcome to come along, no charges, anything like that. The steam engines then will leave Tokers tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. and they'll travel through Newbridge and Kildare Town, Monaster Evan, and they'll park at Tracy's on the Heath in County Leash on tomorrow night. So get ready for some traffic disruption if the steam engines are going through Newbridge, Kildare Town and Monaster Evan tomorrow morning. That's all happening.